Praise the Lord. Father, we continue to thank you this morning. This is our season of elevation, Lord, life elevation. Father, we continue to thank you. Father, you have purpose that we be blessed abundantly. It is your desire, Lord. This morning we pray that your blessings will continue to rest on us and we continue to see your hand over our lives and begin to give you the glory, Father. Oh, yes, Lord. We live and move and have our being in you. This morning we are exalting you, Father. Come and take control of this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, may your mind be transmitted to us. We have a divine transition this morning, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, it is your word that we long for this morning. It is a word from you. It is a word from you. Our hearts are ready, fertile. Father, we exhort you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning, good morning. Our senior pastor extends his greetings to every one of you. I told him I will tell the church that you send your greetings. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Those of our brethren who are online, we want to thank you for being part of our morning service this morning. We know that you are being blessed. You have been blessed. And we know God still has more for you prepared. There are packages from heaven today. We will claim those packages. Before we sit down, I would like us to take our confession for the year. We should have them on the overboard. When you are ready, just let us know. Okay? I see them. I see it on the overboard there. Oh, we are going to start 1, 2, 3. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled, and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvest, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by his grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is he who began this work in me, and he will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed, promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by his mantle. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountains? And where are you, O great giants? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and a pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon I am treading under my feet. With long life he satisfies me, and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's Shalom, Jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can we be seated, brethren? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are living in the days where people are going through a lot of things. You will not imagine unless they tell you. You will not know. So I was in the house in the evening, one of these evenings, and I normally tell people that I don't call after 10 p.m. And if you call me after 10 p.m., you are trying, unless it's an emergency. So, but this person knows about this rule and calls me around 9:24. And I look, I say, you want to violate my rule? And they say, no, I still have 26 minutes. I say, yep, you got me there, you got me there, that is good. You see, it's always good to operate, to know, you know, when there are rules, you have to know those boundaries and know how to navigate around them, you know. For those of you who do your taxes, you know, the government says you should pay taxes. That's what the government says. But you see, there are some smart accountants who know how to operate within the boundaries set by the tax code and will not be away or out of the law, but they will put you on the advantage. That is how you should treat with people. You should always know that people have boundaries. Same thing with God. This morning, I would like to share something with you, which the pastor has been sharing with us. I just thought in my spirit, I think the Holy Spirit wants to reiterate certain things that our senior pastor has been saying during our Wednesday Bible studies. And has anybody been enjoying the Bible studies on Wednesdays? You renovating your your mind and you elevate your life. There is no shortcut to it. If you want to have an elevated life, as we've been promised in our confession this year, you need to renovate your mind. And we'll touch a few things there. But you see, as she called and she was telling me, you cannot imagine. I said, what was happening? I just left a friend's place and I was just crying. And she told me that she was crying because this friend was going through a lot. And I was like, how is she coping? And I said, I called you because I know you are a pastor. Can you please pray for this, my friend? You know? And I was like, God, you see? I almost did not pick that call. I almost did not pick it. Because I wanted to, you know, it's normal when people call me after 9, I'm like, unless it's really an emergency, but something told me, pick that call. And so when we dropped the call, I think somebody called her and then she said, I have to drop the call before we could even prepare. And she dropped the call. I said, what's the name of this person? She told me, and I there and there prayed and started praying, declaring God's, you know, life, the dew of heaven over her life, you know, over this person's life. And I prayed and I said, God, let her have a wonderful sleep this night. You know, people go through things which even their sleep is disturbed. You know, their sleep is disturbed. Mothers, you know this. When your child is sick in the house, if you are a mother that I know, you don't sleep. You don't sleep. You see that child maybe suffering from a flu or congestion. You even want to sleep in the same room with them, just, you know, to give them some comfort. You know, so I prayed and I said, God, extend your hand. It's not for nothing that people call and seek for prayers. You remember, I've always said that it's when somebody comes to you and asks for prayers, pray for them. Or somebody brings something to you without even asking for prayers, tell them, can I pray for you? You know, because even during the week, somebody was sharing with me what they have been going through. Say for about a year now, I've not known what taste is. I said, Lord, I'll pray for you. He said, thank you very much. Thank you. And I prayed for him also. I said, God, extend your hand and make him know what tasting is all about. Can you imagine you eat food, you don't even know how it tastes. You see, some people are really going through hardships, you know. But God is exposing us so we have these elevated lives, which when they come to us, we have the solution. We can pray for them and God answers. God does not just bundle us and keep us where we are so we just enjoy ourselves, you know. God puts us there. I used to ask God, why did you bring me to the United States? I never knelt down and said, God, I want to go to the United States. Never. But God just miraculously made a way for me to come to the U.S. And I always ask God, I want to fulfill the purpose for which you brought me into the United States of America. I have not come here to just enjoy life, live in a good house, have a nice car, kids going to school and doing well. That's not just all. There is a divine purpose. That divine transition our brother talked about last week. There is something, and I'm urging all of us to begin to ask God for these divine plans that he has for us, placing us where we are, not just by chance. Because our life is not a life of chance. Our life is a life of purpose. And when you have this mind, God will begin to say, oh yes, I have somebody who is ready, who really wants to know why I brought them there. But if you don't, God will not reveal it. That is the truth. You know, Jesus Christ had to say this, you know, before he started his ministry in the synagogue, where he was reading from the book of Isaiah, and he said, today this word has been fulfilled, you know. So he was telling the population, the time has come for me to begin my ministry. You know, I have to start it. And he started his ministry. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we've been talking about do the do's. Who remembers do the do's? I remember the pastor said it and he himself laughed. We have been talking about do the do's. The kind of Christianity that we have is not a Christianity of only hearing. is a Christianity of doing. Can we go to James chapter 1, verse 22? Well, let's start from 21. James chapter 1. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Praise the Lord. The Bible is very, very peculiar about us engaging in obeying what God has said. When we have a life where we only want to hear and receive without using, God will not use us. God is looking for that person who says, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, I want you to use me. I want you to walk through me. I want you to touch a heart through me. I want you to touch my family through me. I want to do something, Father. I want us to elevate ourselves from the position of comfort where we only want to receive. And we have not engaged ourselves to be there in that vineyard where we have to work. Amen? That is what I want us this morning to do. I want you to put in your mind that God has not brought me just to be a good hearer. We can hear things. We are good hearers. We can hear things. There are people who can tell you everything about the news. They have heard it. How did they know it? They heard it. There are people who can tell you things in the Bible which you open your mouth and you say, but was this in the Bible? There's somebody I listened to and he was expounding on the word and I'm like, come on. You know, there are people who have all these talents and we can listen to them. But if we only end at the level of hearing, then we are not doing ourselves favors. Because we are not enjoying the full blessing that God wants us to enjoy. And so the Bible is telling us that we should not be only doers of the word. I mean, hearers of the word. But we should be doers of the word. You know, even when Jesus was on earth, Jesus was always doing things. They say everywhere he went, he was doing good. He was always doing things. Because he knew that it's by doing that the power of God is manifested, is shown. It's not just by saying things, because if you only go to what he used to say, sometimes he will say things and they will say, like when he said, in order to be born again, in order to, you know, you have enter the kingdom, you have to be born again. Somebody was like, Nicodemus, he said, oh, what are you saying? You mean I should get into my mother's womb? You know, so he was listening. But Jesus did not just end there. Because as he was talking and sharing the gospel of Jesus of the good news, he knew that when people see the manifestation of the power of God, it will draw their attention. Their attention will be drawn. There are some who said, he himself said, that you follow me here because I made food, you know, bread. I turned bread, you know, multiplied bread and fish. You are following me here to eat fish and bread. You are following me here for the doings. The things I have done. And so doing ushers us into new heights. Like the pastor said, if you want to get into a life of elevation, you have to start doing things. Praise the Lord. And you liken it to the thought of God. You do what things? You liken it to the thought of God where he tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29, 11. Say, I know the thoughts I have for you. So God has good thoughts for us. God has the best for us. And when we make ourselves available in his presence and to want to walk in his vineyard, then those good thoughts will begin to manifest in our lives. You know, many people are so worried about their lives these days, so worried. Businesses don't even want to hire. I have a friend who sent me, say, Kermit, I don't know what's happening. I have applied, but people don't seem to call me. And I shook my head. And another one said,
They told me it's not time to hire yet. They are waiting. The way the economy is now and the way the government is now, we don't yet know. So we are now taking pace. We are waiting. Everybody is waiting to see what the government will do. And so everybody is just on edge, you know. But with us believers, when we are in the vineyard of God, we don't need to worry. Praise the Lord. We don't need to worry. Why? Because when we surrender our lives to God, God has a responsibility as our Father to take care of us. Praise the Lord. There is no father that will see the child hungry and has a way of providing that child food and will not give them. Or a mother. There is nobody. We are all here like this. Some of us, before we even came to church, we made sure there is food by the time we get back home, right? My mother used to be a very professional in that. She would wake up early in the morning. She would prepare food. Because she knows that these hungry boys, and we are five boys, she knows that by the time we go to church and come back, the next thing in her mind is not what the pastor preached there. It is what the kitchen is preaching. And so she will prepare the food, and we knew. God bless her. God bless her. So, I mean, God bless the mothers. God really bless the mothers. Because the sacrifice that the mothers do, this is not Mother's Day, but I'm just trying to illustrate the fact that when God, we have God, and we are his responsibilities, he will make sure we always do not lack. Hallelujah. He will make sure we always do not lack. And so God's thoughts for us are the best thoughts. I mean, the best thoughts. Don't worry about what you're going through right now. If you believe what God says in his word, that he has the good thoughts and the best thoughts for you, just know that all is well. Like somebody said, God says it, that settles it. God says it, that settles it. And so we've been told of, you know, the first thing was our mind, that we have to make sure our mind is in the right position before God now can use us to elevate our lives. Hallelujah. And so the pastor talked about brainwashing the mind and flooding the zone. I like the flooding the zone part, where you flooding the zone, meaning you want to turn like this is the word of God. You flood the zone with the word of God. You want to turn like this is the word of God. Any situation that comes your way, you have a word of God to back it, to say, okay, this is sickness. No. The word of God says I am healed. You know, you flood your mind with the word of God. We are in the world, and the world is longing for our attention. The world wants to flood our zone. There are many people whose zones, whose minds have been flooded with the world in such a way that the first thing they get up in the morning, they think about is the world. Something in the world. You know, but that's not how God wants us to do. God wants us to flood our minds with the word. So that when we get up in the morning, the first thing that comes in our mind is God. Hallelujah. Because that's the only way we are going to live an elevated life. When we don't have the word of God flooding our minds, the devil will flood them. And he will flood it with something that will only take us away from God. It only takes us away. Have you not sat down once like this and you're like, I've not read my Bible for the past 1 week. And you're like, God, this is hard. This is what? And you begin to see the effect of that fact that you have not been reading your Bible. The effect of where your mind is, I mean, the thoughts that you have. You ask yourself, am I the one thinking these thoughts? And you see yourself powerless before certain situations. And you are like, but then when you think and you say, yes, I have not been flooding the zone. And so my house is empty. And so the devil has come and he's taken over. He's tracing boundaries in my mind. Forcing my mind to begin to think the way he wants me to think. So we have to flood the zone. of our minds with the word of God. Make that a commitment. Hallelujah. Are we alive in the house today? Praise the Lord. And so we come now to the doings. Obedience of God's instructions. And we're told that God does not have guidance. God has instructions. So when God says something, he's not giving you a choice or an option. He says something for you to follow. It's not a guidance. You know, 5 ways of becoming rich. You know those books that they tell you 10 steps of attaining rich, you know, levels of wisdom or richness. No. God does not do that. God gives you instructions to follow. And God's instruction manual is the Bible. Hallelujah. And so God gives us these instructions to follow. We have to follow them. We have to follow them. We have to be able to do these things, to know God's mind and begin to be able to identify God in our lives as we go along, as we live each day. We begin to able to know his voice when he speaks, you know. And so I would like us to touch, I'm sure you're surprised, I have not touched any Old Testament verse, but I'm touching an Old Testament verse, and I'm going to David. Hallelujah. I would like to touch on the life of David and try to see how we can highlight the fact of doing. What happens when you don't do things the way God, when you don't follow God's instructions? The Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Can we have 1 Chronicles chapter 21, please? In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, the Bible tells us that David decided to number the troops. The Bible says, and Satan stood up against Israel and did what? And provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it. Do you know why this is a big deal, numbering the troops? I'll show you why it's a big deal. Let's go to Exodus chapter 31. Oh, chapter 30, I think. Exodus chapter 30. In Exodus chapter 30, if we look at verse 11, from verse 11 it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel, that is to say, when you are numbering, counting them after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest. That there be no plague. Now, the Bible says Satan provoked David to number the children of Israel. But David forgot one thing. You don't just number the children of Israel, especially the troops. You don't just number them. If you want to number the troops, you have to go through this provision that was written, the instructions that God gave in this manual, that every person 20 years and above has to give half a shekel according to the weight of the sanctuary. But David said, just go to the rulers, number the troops and tell me. And if you look at it, Joab insisted and said, no, this is not something you should do now, king. And Joab answered the Lord, the Lord make his people and 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord, the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Joab was trying to warn him that what you are trying to embark on, it's not the right move. You are not following the right instructions. This is not the right do's. But, you know, David was king. His word was above all his servants. And they tried, and he said, nah, number them. Why did David decide to number them? If you read the chapter before, it tells you about how David was successful in battles. It tells you that they fought the giants, they killed them. They fought this man with 24 fingers, killed. So David was really having victories. He was having victories. And in his mind, maybe he was like, the victories I'm having it because I have powerful people. I need to know how many people I really have. His victories corrupted his mind. It made him not to see well in such a way that even when they were trying to pinpoint to him that what you are trying to do, it's a high risk because it's a promise that if we do this thing without passing through the right channels, we are calling upon ourselves plagues. We don't know what God will do, but God will definitely do something because he wrote it in his manual that we follow it. But David, you know, remember this is David who never went for a battle without doing what? Consulting. He never went for battle without saying, come here, my seers, as the Bible calls them. In this case, his seer was God. Come here, tell me, should I go or should I not go? It doesn't matter if I have the army. Maybe there are 20,000, we are 100,000. Should I go or should I not go? And the seers will consult with God and God will tell them vividly that, go, I have given them to you. But in this case, David could not call his seers and say, should I count or should I not count? Or even if I have to. And you know, these were the prophets. They knew the word. They would have told him that, okay, see, if you are insisting to count, then we have to do it the right way. And this is the right way. I'm not sure you want every man to go and take half a shekel of silver. And not only half a shekel of silver, but the what? The weight according to the sanctuary. And I did some research. It is said that the shekel weight of the sanctuary is 20% higher than the normal shekel that they knew. So it means you are taxing the army people, your soldiers more. If you wanted to count, you would tax them more, you know, just because you want to know how many soldiers you had. And so you could boast that I have. And it was counted, and it was 1.5 million. 1,570,000. That's a good number. It's a huge number. In those days, you have 1.5. I mean, I don't know if my country, Cameroon, has 1.5 million soldiers. No, you have it in those days. You'll start boasting. You know, but that is not what happened. The Bible says God was not pleased with David, and God caused a plague to come, and that plague began to consume. Kill people. And God sent the seer, God, to tell David what his sin was. The thing he did, which Joab told him, that everything in Israel is yours. Why do you count? It is yours. But this is not what has been causing us to win our battles. Our battles, the victories that we've had along the years, they were victories that were from God. You killing Goliath, it was God. All your mighty men who were killing people, mighty people, giants. It is not by their strength, it's from God. Why don't you stick with that move, that pattern that God has already established, that the victories will always be from me and not from the number of the armies that I have. And so today we have a lot of behaving like David a lot, where because we have had some back victories, you know, we begin to rely on our capacities and our potentials. We begin to forget that God is the one who has given us those victories and those potentials. And then it will push us to do things that we are not supposed to do. It will push us to do things that we are not supposed to do. You know, David suffered and he decided, and when they gave him his options, the Bible says when David was given that option, he decided to say he will fall because they gave him, and he said, and God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of the servants, for I have done very foolishly. One good thing with David was he knew how to acknowledge his faults. He knew how to recognize when he was wrong. This is something that many of us will don't have today. You do things and Jesus says everybody is doing it. No. If you do something and it is wrong before God, you ask for forgiveness. You don't say because some other person is doing it, then it's normal. They have taken it normal. It is a status quo. No. David went and he asked God, he's done foolish. And verse 9 for chapter 21, verse 9 says, and the Lord spake unto God, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So God came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the word of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. Advise thyself. The Bible says, and David said unto God, I am in great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord. For very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says 70,000 men died because of the sin of one man. We have been told that decisions that we make as parents affects our children. It affects them. There are families who are suffering today from what their ancestors did, knowing or unknowingly, but they've violated the rule. Because of David's sin, just one sin that he did, 70,000 of his men died. That's 70,000. It's serious. God does not take light his instructions. God does not take light because God is just. He will not say, okay, it's David. It's the sweet, as David calls himself, the sweet psalmist of Israel. It's David, the one after my heart. But the people died. But the good thing with David is when he realized his mistake, he begged God for forgiveness. He went and told God, please. And what did he do? He still went back and did the same sacrifices, which if he had gone the normal way, would have been done. He still went back and did the same sacrifice. The Bible says he bought a land. And on that land, he did some sacrifices. And do you know that it is on that land that the temple was built? It is on that land that after he had been forgiven, that he went and called his son Solomon and said, I have too much blood on my hands and God has said I cannot build his house. You are going to be the one to build his house. And the Bible says he made preparation because he could not build. He had a lot of blood in his hands. He sinned. He killed. And so David did not do what God wanted him to do. The do's. Hallelujah. The do's. He should have asked for his seer. He did not ask. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want us this morning to know one thing. When God When we have brainwashed our minds and we have flooded the zone of our minds, the next step is to begin to do the do's, the things that God wants us to do. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that ye may provide what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the renewing of your mind. Why should we renew our mind? If we don't renew our mind, we will not know what God's perfect will is. If we don't renew our mind, we will not know what that acceptable will of God is. The problem with David was he did not renew his mind as to when to count his army. If David had renewed his mind, he would have made the right choices, trust me. They would have highlighted him. He did not renew his mind. And so we live in the days where many people want to conform with the world. They want to please the world. They want the world to accept them. Believers should not want the world to accept them. Be ye separate. We have been called to be separate. If we are in a place and our life cannot be distinguished, there is something wrong. We have not been renewing our minds. We are being conformed to the world. We are doing things the way the world does them. I remember once somebody called me and said, "Oh, hey, Kermit, I just applied for a job and they'll be calling you for interview for a referral." I said, "Oh, wow, good, great. At least I worked with you now." So he said, "Oh, no, they'll be calling you. You are my manager." I said, "Huh? Manager care? No. I'm not your manager now. Am I your manager?" He said, "No, it's just to tell them that you are my manager and, you know, I've worked with you. I've been a good worker. I said, "Well, you know what? The level at which my mind is renewed right now, there is no way I am your manager. There is no way." And then they said, "Wait, is it because you are going to church?" I said, "Of course." I say, if I say that I am your manager and tomorrow I want to tell you about the gospel, or even invite you to come to a program in my church, what will you say? "Ah, it's one of the same people." I said, "Well, they're just church goers. They just go to church. They don't live the life that they confess." I said, "No. I am not going to be your manager now, or maybe one day you'll be my, you know, I'll be your manager. Thank you for elevating me, but not in this way." I will not conform. And that is, you know, why did they come? Because that's what they do in the world. It is accepted. It's an acceptable norm that the world knows. People will call and say, "You are my D, just tell them this." They say, "Oh, okay. As long as you get the job, that is fine." You don't want to conform to this world, because the moment you conform to this world, your testimony is gone. We have been called to live elevated lives. Why elevated? Because people will see. When you live a life in an elevated level, people see. People see. And so your testimony is out there. People will see. It is, somebody might have said, "Oh, just when they call, just say, yeah, I work with her, you know, or with him, and they are good." But the level at which my mind was renewed then, I said, nah. I mean, there are a lot of things that the world wants us to compromise about. There's a reason why the apostle said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." And the only way you can transform is by renewing your mind. flooding the zone, doing the do's. Brainwashing your mind with the word of God. Brainwashing your mind. When they say, you guys are, yes, I am a fanatic for Jesus. Hallelujah. You confess it and confess it. Because tomorrow, there will be the one who will say, well, if you want, you have a problem, that's the man I want you to go and meet. You have a problem, you want prayers, go there. That's where I want you, because we've tested him. We've tested him. We've built, you know, traps along the way for him to fall. He's jumping and passing. He's jumping and passing, right? Jump and pass. And so we have a testimony. His life is elevated. It's there. We don't go there. And then we now have a testimony. Many people today cannot preach the gospel of Jesus because they don't have that testimony. Conforming all over the place. Conforming with everything that is wrong. Just conforming because they want to be part of something. They want to be accepted. No, you are accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in God. That's what counts. When God accepts you, it is settled. You don't have to fight for approval from your family if it will be that you compromise your faith. You don't have to do it. You have to stand on your ground, because the truth is, the end game is, when your life is elevated, the gospel will shine. Amen. The gospel will shine. When you have family meetings, they'll call upon you to pray. They will not say, okay, they start making, you know, they will say, no, we have a believer, somebody who prays. We have them in our midst. Who has not compromised. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. The world is expecting us to prove. It's waiting for us to prove the power of God. It's waiting for us to prove that there is still God and he still moves. We don't need to be made saints to prove that. It's not a Saint Kermit. No. Your life must be a life that is out there proving the perfect will of God. Because if not, the world has so much to offer. Like so much that you will not believe. They bombard you from all angles. From all angles. You should be that one where if there's happy hour, people don't come to your cube. For those of you who work in corporate America, when that Friday comes and they say there's happy hour, they will say, we don't want to take him. Because when we go take him there, he will be drinking juice. When we have an open tab on a credit card, he's taking water. Sparkle. You know, it is good to have that testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. We should go back to those testimonies. We should go back to them. We should. Hallelujah. We have been called not to conform to this world, but to transform, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Hallelujah. So the absolute best thing that you can do to secure your well-being is to obey God. Remember what the pastor said. The absolute best thing that you can do to secure your well-being is to obey God. And renovation of the mind is not possible if we live in disobedience. Hallelujah. Renovation of the mind is not possible if we live in disobedience. God has called us to stand out. God has called us to live, to renew our minds so that we can attain elevation. Even when you go to school, martial arts school, you don't just get black belts. They don't just give you. You have to earn it. Amen? You have to earn it. A blackbird is an elevated life. That's a blackbird. A blackbird is an elevated life. But before we get to that elevated life, we have to go through all the processes, the steps of passing the exams, renewing our minds. You know, you have to brainwash your mind with the word of God. Then you have to flood the zone. So everything, the first thing that comes to you when somebody comes to you is the word of God. There are sometimes I have had somebody really share something with me, and then they will go and I'll be like, I didn't even pray for them. That was an opportunity the Holy Spirit was given for me to now engage them in how to show them how we solve problems, how we approach our problems. If the way you approach a problem, the first thing is to think about something other than God, there's a problem. There is a problem. Right? The first thing that should come to your mind whenever you have any situation is God. Amen? It's God. That's what you say, flood. Flood the zone. You flood the zone. You know, for those of you who follow soccer, there was a coach who used to coach Chelsea. They used to call him Mourinho. Jose Mourinho, he had a style of playing. He doesn't play fancy. He knows that when you open the annals, you know, of statistics, when they say who won this year, they will put the man who has the highest points. They will not put how they won it. No style is there. It is the goals that count. And so what he did was he would build his team around two things. I need one striker, and then I need defenders. That's it. And so when he scores one goal, he builds, we used to call it, a boss. So he puts everybody behind. Say, you have to defend. Nobody scores. And so you are watching this. You like to watch something, you know. You want to be entertained. You are watching and you are like, This is so boring. But at the end of the day, his team will lift up that trophy. And the news will be that his team won the trophy. Not that his team scored one goal and then they were blocking. Not that means. You know, he was flooding the zone in such a way that you will not score him. You hardly scored when Mourinho decides to flood his zone. That's what flooding the zone with the word of God means. The word of God is there, just blocking. Nothing goes through. Anything wants to come, the word is there. Sickness wants to come, the word is there. Ancestral spirits want to come, the word is there. Those cycles that happen in your family where it says that if you are a man, you will not attend to a certain level of wealth, the word is there. You flood the zone. Hallelujah. You flood the zone. It reminds me of in my country, in those days, when people got 1 billion francs CFA, 1 billion, you know what they would do? They would make a party. Say, come. Invite their friends. Say, look, I am a billionaire now. You know, I have billion in my account. You know, I have the money. Flooding the zone of financial wealth. That's how the world does its own. But we flood the zone with the word of God. Saturate everywhere. Saturate everywhere. Learn to gather Bible verses that will back up situations that you're going through. And so when you come through this situation, the first thing that comes in your mind are these Bible verses. You speak them first. Speak them before you even think. Say, what would I do? The first thing, you just speak them. You flood the zone with the word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have to do the do's. We have to, if we want to have an elevated life. Hallelujah. Let's stand up, please. Like David, We should not engage. should not engage into tasks that we have not fully had a witness to do. And like David, when we want to do something and we have somebody opposing them or having a contrary idea to what we have, we should not just shove it away. What do? We go before God and say, God, I have this in mind to do, but my wife has something else, or my brother is saying something else, or my pastor is saying something else. What do I do? Then clarity will begin to flood. Many of us today, there are many people today who are suffering because, like David, they were excited and they got into projects that they could not sustain them. They could not sustain them. The projects crushed them. Under that weight, they crumbled. And they've never been the same again. This morning, I want us to separate ourselves and be doers of God's instructions. Approaching God's instructions as final, not guidances. It's not a guidance. It's an instruction that we have to follow. And so when we search for what God has said in His Word and He tells us, then we do it. Because like the tax code, when you do anything around the boundaries that have been set in the tax code, there is no way you will be called up for audit. Nobody will audit you. Same thing with God. When we approach things with God leading, there's no way we are going to fail. We just have to reap blessings. Hallelujah. This morning, I'd like you to lift up your voice. I make a commitment to God that you begin to do things. You'll be a doer of things, not just a hearer. And as the world begin to yearn for them to confirm, for you to confirm with them, you begin to say, no, I take the renewal of the mind instead. I renew my mind on a daily basis so I'm able to be, I'll be updated. Even as the world, softwares that we have in the world have regular updates. Why won't you be updating your mind? Why won't you be updating your mind? Sometimes it might even require critical updates where you wake up and you say, God, this thing is really weighing me down. I want answers. I want to implement it, Lord. You beg for critical updates. Praise the Lord. God will touch us. We are going to live elevated lives. We are going to live elevated lives. As we renew our minds, we are going to live this elevated life. We have no option. There's no option there. It's a rule, it is a law. He who renews their mind will not conform to the world. He who renews their mind will live above the world. Praise the Lord. Has somebody been blessed today? Hallelujah.